Hi, I'm the bit before the theme music. Now, I see myself as kind of like a warm-up man. You know, like at the start of these sitcoms and stuff, the guy that comes up and G's up the audience, gets them all excited for the show. You know what I mean? So let's try that, yeah? Okay, so everyone, give me a big cheer. Give me a big cheer. Nope, okay. Okay, well, just this. Everyone clap. Give me a big round of applause. Come on. Nope, okay. Do you want to try laughing? Everyone give me a laugh. Okay, that didn't really work, did it? Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Time for the interactive bit. Here it comes. So I was walking down the street the other day, and guess what I saw? No. No. You'll never guess. Have another guess. No. No. Have another guess. Yeah, you're right. Can you believe that? There it was, by the side of the road. I can't believe you guessed that. And seen. How was that? It was something. It was definitely something. So boys and girls, it's another packed show. I'm actually away when this comes out. So I've had to record this early. It's not going to affect things much, you know. It's going to be the usual big steaming pile of magic. So we've got that. Yeah, I don't think there's any housekeeping, is there? There probably is some housekeeping, but let's not worry about that. Let's get started with this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a
humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is the 101 Dalmatians cartoon show. This was from 1997. You remember, like, they had the 1996 film with Glenn Close, 101 Dalmatians, and then the sequel came out, was it 2000 or about 1999 or something? In between that, they had this show came out called 101 Dalmatians. It ran for two seasons, from 1997 to 98, and there were 65 episodes. Now, it aired on the Disney Kellogg Alliance channel, whatever that is, and ABC. And the deal is, it was sort of set on the Dearly Farm. That's where the dogs lived and all the Dalmatians. And Anita, that's Mrs. Dearly, she works as a designer for Cruella de Vil, which I think might have been the case in the film, was it? I don't know, I never watched it. Actually, I did watch the film, the Glenn Close one. I don't think I cared for it much, but I remember seeing it. Anyway, this episode is called A Christmas Cruella, and it was originally shown on the 25th December 1997, so it's about 28 years old at the time of recording. So, I'm just going to go through the episode, kids. It opens with the theme music. I don't mind the theme music. Have a listen to this.
I'm seeing lots of spots, plenty of polka dots.
Get those puppies!
Can't catch the furry flurry, running in a blurry hurry.
Get those puppies!
Life's just a bed of roses. Fast friends with cold, wet noses. Thick, thin, push and pull. It's 101, oh wonderful. Just tons of fun. 101 Dalmatians.
So during the theme music, it shows you the four main characters, and they are Lucky, Cadpig, Rolly, those were all Dalmatians, and Spot, who was a chicken, who was never in any of the films or the original cartoon. Those were actually the four main characters in the TV show. They had other ones that would pop up in episodes, but it was always those in every episode. You've got Lucky, who isn't much in this one, actually. Cadpig is sort of the smart one, but it's like the runt of the litter, so he's the smallest one. And Rolly is like a big, chunky one who likes eating. Anyway, it opens, and Rolly's going around sniffing all the presents, and he tells Codpig that they're going to get a squeaky toy for Christmas. And then you got Nanny there, who lives with the Dearlys on the farm, and she's packing up the presents, wrapping them up, and she sticks a bow on Rolly's bottom and sort of shoves him under the tree. Bit of slapstick for you. Sure you enjoyed that. Then Nanny is decorating the tree. She said, oh, the only thing's missing is a star. So Spot, the chicken, he flies up to the top of the tree and he stands there like a star for some reason. He seems quite happy though. Feels like it's his calling. Then we cut to where Cruella De Vil works, and for the life of me, I've been forgotten what the place is called. It's like something like De Vil Industries or something. Anyway, so you've got her two sidekicks, Horace and Jasper, and I believe they were in the film. You know, one of them was played by Hugh Laurie, who played House, yeah, before he was famous. He played Jasper out of the two of them, and those two characters were also in the original cartoon film. Anyway, they're there putting up this tree in the foyer of the building, and it's like an upside down Christmas tree, but it looks like it's made of, I don't know, plastic or metal. And on the very top of it, it's got Cruella made out of gold. And they switch this switch and she starts shooting lasers out of her eyes, going, buy, buy, buy stuff.
Merry Christmas, buy, shop, spend. Merry Christmas, buy, shop, spend. Merry Christmas.
But the lasers are sort of shooting at everyone. So like, oh, turn that off. Then we cut to Cruella. And she is loving Christmas, absolutely loving it, because she gets to earn more money, you see? And she's making all her artists, all her designers, work late on Christmas Eve. And so Roger turns up to collect Anita, his wife. Well, that's Roger Dearly. He was played by Jeff Daniels in the film, and Jolie Richardson played Anita in the film. He comes to collect her after work, and when he comes in, he's carrying one of the puppies, and it's Lucky, and apparently Lucky has got a pine needle in his foot. Well, that's not very lucky, is it, Lucky? Anyway, Cruella's like, well, no more chatting, get back to work. And Anita's like, yeah, but it's gone 6 o'clock. And Cruella says this.
Just because it's the night before a silly holiday is no excuse for her to leave on time. Why can't she work late like the other 364 days of the year?
And Roger gets really angry with her, and he's like, you can't make her work this late on Christmas Eve. So Cruella says, well, you don't want to work late, you're sacked. Don't bother coming in tomorrow, which means you get Christmas off, which isn't very nice on Christmas Eve. Then we cut to Horace and Jasper, and they're fixing the tree, and Cruella comes down. As she's marching down, she knocks their ladder out. The whole tree falls on top of her, and she sort of like wakes up all dizzy, and Horace and Jasper have disappeared. So she is not happy. And then she leaves, and as she leaves, outside the front door, there's a Santa collecting charity, and she opens the door really quickly and sort of slams the Santa guy into it, and she's like, oh, well, I better take some money for the damage you've done to the door, and she grabs a load of money out of his cauldron that he's collecting the cash in. Then she tells some homeless bloke to clear off, who's hanging around near her building, and then there's a bunch of choir singers singing, and she sort of barges through the middle of them and pushes them all out of the way. Then she jumps in a car, and as she's driving home really quickly, she like drives through these three snowmen that are all in a row, and as she drives into them, they all sort of go up in the air, and then when they land, they all look like snow devils. They've all got like, what were their arms originally, and their horns that come out of their head, and they look like devils. So she goes home and she puts the code into her machine, and then she has to do like a retinal scan. Now this retinal scanner is like a camera on a thick wire cable thing, and it suddenly transforms into Horace and Jasper. And she's like, what? Horace and Jasper, what are you doing here? And it sort of wraps around her a bit like a snake, the cable of it does. And she hits them with her handbag and it knocks them their heads off, and then it transforms back into a camera. Yeah. So then she's indoors. And she's going to bed, and on her bed is her pet weasel called Scorch. And the voice of, and the noises, I can't say voice because he doesn't speak, the noises of Scorch are done by Frank Welker. I'm sure you've heard of Frank Welker. He did, I believe, Scooby-Doo and a lot of other stuff. Loads of animal noises, really. Anyway, Horace and Jasper turn up as Jacob Marley, and they do a short song. Have a listen to this.
You are a great big meanie, you cause a lot of fuss. You better learn to love and share, or you'll end up like us.
I'll become a tone-deaf nitwit.
And then pretty much that's it. They say you're going to be visited by three ghosts, and then they leave. It's a really short scene, that bit is. And the first ghost turns up, and it's the Ghost of Christmas Past, of course, and that is Cadpig. And this is something I talked about, I think, in the last episode, was it? I definitely spoke about it recently, where the ghosts are actually people that they know in their everyday life. And that's who we've got here, Cadpig, the little... Do you remember I said about the little runt of the litter, the very clever one out of the Dalmatians? He's there, and the two of them jump on this chaise longue that's at the end of Cruella's bed, and they take her to when she was a little toddler. And when she's a little toddler, she wants a puppy.
Puppy? What puppy?
She really wants a puppy, but her parents are away. They've gone away on holiday, and they've left her with her nanny. And she's there, and the nanny brings out the present from her mum and dad. She opens it up, and it's like a onesie.
Not puppy.
And she's really upset, and because she wanted a puppy, and she tears the onesie up. So then the nanny puts her to bed, and she gets all angry, and she grabs a phone and phones Express Federal, which is like Federal Express, who come and take the nanny away. They box her up and take her away. Yeah. So then we see her as a young girl a few years later, and again she still really wants a puppy, and this year she gets a Hawaiian shirt. And it's interesting because the nanny she's got this year looks just like Mary Poppins. And she goes outside, like, really angry because she didn't get a puppy, and there's loads of kids out there, and they've all got a puppy. They've all got a new puppy, which is a bit much, really. I mean, the whole a dog is for life, not just for Christmas thing, they're not really taking that into account here. They don't seem too bothered about that. They seem quite happy, whoever wrote this, for every child to have a puppy for Christmas. Well, she gets really angry, jumps on her bike and starts riding around past them all, and it's been snowing, there's loads of snow everywhere, and all the snow goes over these kids who are all like in a pile covered in snow. Next up is her as a teenager, and she looks pretty much like she does as a grown-up, but they put spots on her face to make it look like she's got acne, I guess. And again, she doesn't get a puppy and she's really angry, and she's walking down the street where everyone's got like the perfect Christmas going on, and you can see like in their windows, and she's like really angry. But then she gets home and sees like silhouettes of her parents in the window, and she can hear a dog barking, and she's really excited, and she bursts in, and it turns out that the parents are actually just cutouts of the parents, and the dog is like a toy dog that barks when you pull the string on it. And she's really upset and gets the toy dog and throws it in the fire. So that truly is ungrateful. At this point, Cad Pig's time is up, and they say this.
Now, what are you going to show me next?
I'm sorry, your hour is up.
It's only been 50 minutes.
That's an hour in my business.
And as funny that is, because I've talked about this loads of times before, kids. In the book, it's not just an hour. The ghosts come on separate nights. It's meant to be like a whole day that Scrooge is with the spirits. But I like that line, though. I thought that line was quite funny. Anyway, and then it's the ghost of Christmas present, and this time we've got Rolly, the big chubby puppy. I like this bit because he's in Cruella's room, and there's a huge feast of food just like in the corner of the room, like massive. And so he gets to eat all that, which is kind of cool. I like that because it, you know, made me think about the proper ghost of Christmas present. He starts eating all the food. It cuts to the clock, and 4 hours pass by. Well, the Ghost of Christmas Past only had 1 hour, well, 50 minutes. The Ghost of Christmas Present has spent 4 hours just eating. Having said that, it does look very nice, all the food, even though it's a cartoon. I mean, I'd want to sit there and eat for 4 hours. Anyway, Rolly, or the Ghost of Christmas Present, takes Cruella, he jumps on her back, because he's massive, and he jumps on her back, and they go to the Dearly's farm. And they're looking through the window, and it's quite funny because Anita brings in the present for Roger, and he opens it up. He's like, oh, it's just what I wanted. It's the Tectonic Track Computer Charisizer, or something like that. I think I said that right.
It's the Teutonic Track Computer Charisizer.
And he's like, this is perfect. This is just what I wanted. Shame I can't keep it. So then Roger gives Anita her present, and he says, as he hands it to her, he says, I've got something you can't keep.
I've got something you can't keep.
A monogram portfolio!
Yeah, it's for you to carry all your work into, you know, where you're not going to be working anymore. Sorry.
Nanny gets some electric underwear to keep her warm, which she can't use. And all the puppies get a big, huge tub of chews to eat, and they can't eat those. And they've even got this special splint thing to go over Lucky's paw. Do you remember Lucky had a pine needle in his paw? Well, this splint protects his paw so he can walk normally. But Roger's like, sorry, I have to take that away. And little Lucky falls flat on his face. And Cruella said, oh, he only got a pine needle on his foot, but apparently it turned into pine paw-itis. Yeah, which is a thing, in this cartoon at least. And this is Cruella's line.
Oh, come on!
It's Dickens!
Dickens, my derriere!
And that's all we get for the Ghost of Christmas Present, is them seeing what it's like for the Dearlys. And then we get the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is Spot, the chicken. he's wearing the old hooded robes, but he's got his beak sticking out, which I kind of liked. He takes Cruella to the window, and they look out, and there's this rat, this gator, and other swamp creatures, which actually feature in other episodes of the show, and the rat is auctioning off all of Cruella's stuff. It's a very, very short scene, but Cruella's like, why are they auctioning all my stuff off? And I didn't mind that. I thought that was kind of like quite good that they'd, you know, copied what happens with old Joe. It's very similar. And then they go to this pet graveyard, and originally Spot takes her to the wrong gravestone, and he's like, oh, hang on, and he gets his map out. He's like, oh yeah, sorry. And then takes her to her gravestone, and she's like, oh, is this it? Does this mean I'm going to be buried in a pet cemetery? I don't quite understand why that's the case, that she's going to be buried in a pet cemetery, you know, but that's what happens, I guess. I don't know. And then Cruella's like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. And then she wakes up under the tree. Do you remember the tree fell over and landed on her and Horace and Jasper? Yeah, she wakes up there, so she's like slept all night through under the tree. She goes outside, and there's, I don't remember seeing this before, but now there's an ice skating rink at the front of her building, and there's a guy skating past, and she says, what day is it?
You there, what day is this?
Halloween, trick or treat, lady, what do you think, it's Christmas.
And then Horace and Jasper wake up, and Horace and Jasper are like, well, everywhere's closed on Christmas Day. And she's like, well, we'll have to improvise. And she's like, starts running around the office, grabbing stuff. And she throws this huge photocopier out of the window, and it lands in the lake where the people, the lake that was in front of her building. And it sort of smashes a hole and smashes all the ice where people are trying to ice skate. And then she starts throwing filing cabinets and all sorts of other crap out there. Oh, that's right. I remember what it's called now. It's called the House of DeVille. That was her building. Yeah. Anyway, then she comes outside and she's got fistfuls of cash for Santa. Do you remember the night before? She puts all that in his cauldron. Then she gives a nice, great, big, thick coat to the homeless guy that was there. And she starts joining in singing with all the choir singers. But when she's singing, they all stop and just stare at her. And she's like, oh, critics. And jumps in a car and drives off. She burns off down the road, knocks over three snowmen. They go flying up in the air, but as they land this time, they land as angels. Yeah, I thought that was quite good as well. I like that. And then she turns up at the Dealey's farm, and she's got gifts for everyone. She's got a stapler and a sellotape dispenser, and she gives Anita a desk name thing, you know, the things you put on your desk with your name on, and it says Susan. And she's like, I'm not Susan. She goes, no, I meant to get your one, but I grabbed the wrong one because I want to give you your job back. And then Anita says, oh, that's fantastic. We're sorry we haven't got a gift for you. And she turns around and says, but I've got just what I always wanted. I get to spend Christmas with all these puppies. Because remember, she really wanted a puppy all through her childhood. And she picks up the first puppy and she gives it a hug. And Anita and Roger are like, no, not Whizzer. And Whizzer, can you guess what he does from his name? Yeah, he pees everywhere. And the cartoon ends with Cruella De Vil covered in puppy wee. And that's the end of it. And do you know what, boys and girls? It was pretty naff. Now, normally, this cartoon was two segments per episode. Well, with this one, it was one segment for the whole episode. So you got the full 20 minutes, but they still had to cram it all in. And they did have to rush through it. But I'll say this, there are a lot of versions out there that completely ignore the source material, but I felt like there were a couple of touches where they did stay reasonably, not close to it actually, not close to it, but there was a couple of touches where I thought, oh yeah, I like what you did there. Like the bit with the retinal scanner instead of a door knocker. Obviously she hasn't got a door knocker, she's got a retinal scanner, so that transforming into Horace and Jasper, who were the Marleys, I kind of like that. The Ghost of Christmas Present, when he turned up with a huge pile of food, that was good. And also this bit of the start where like you've got the charity collecting Santa, a little bit like the Portly Gentleman, so I didn't mind that. Generally it was all right. It wasn't good, but it wasn't awful. It was just something. If you want to check it out, there's a couple of versions on YouTube, so it's there for your viewing pleasure. I've got Disney Plus, but it wasn't on there, so I was a bit surprised about that. I thought it would be, but it wasn't. But yeah, if you want to check it out, it's called Cruella Christmas, or A Christmas Cruella, or something, and it's all right. I'm guessing you won't bother watching it, but you know what? I watched it, so you didn't have to. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Well, cheers to me. I'm a little bit of a hero here at the Tiki Bar. I just set free a whole family of beers. They were trapped in some bottles, and I rescued them. Now, there was a British TV comedy series called Stella Street that aired on BBC Two for 4 years in the late 1990s and early 2000s. It was filmed in a mockumentary format, with the filming being done on a handheld camera. An actor portraying Michael Caine talks directly to the camera and introduces the characters and situations, just like he did in the 1966 film Alfie. Now, the premise of the show is that a group of British and American celebrities have all decided to move into the same location, Stella Street in Surbiton, to escape the madness of their famous lives. The celebrities are played by actors doing exaggerated impressions of them, which leads to some great comic situations. These big-time celebrities are shown going about their lives in everyday situations, but with their well-known stereotypes: arrogance, vanity, lewdness, all fully on display. So we have rockers like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, who are running the local convenience store. And you feature others like Jack Nicholson and Robert De Niro. There is a great Christmas scene with a pseudo David Bowie and Roger Moore exchanging spectacularly boring Christmas presents. David Bowie gets Roger Moore a book token, or a gift certificate, for £10, or about 13 US dollars. And Roger Moore, he gets David Bowie a face flannel. Yes, you heard that right. Face flannel. Now, my thoughts went right to Nirvana. Flannel made a big fashion statement here in the 1990s and was quite the rage with outdoorsmen, grunge bands, and rednecks. So what the heck does flannel have to do with your face? Well, it does in the UK. A flannel, or in the longer form, face flannel, is what we would call a washcloth or a wash rag in the States. It is a small piece of soft cloth used for washing your face or body. To a Brit, a flannel is like a towel, but only a small square the size of a handkerchief. Face flannels were once made of flannel. However, they no longer need to be made of that soft fabric that we know as flannel in the US. The material that we now use for our shirts, sheets, and Christmas pajamas. These days, flannels are typically made of the same material as a towel, like cotton, linen, or terry. The name now refers to how it is being used and not how it is made. Flannel is one of those words to be careful with using, as it has many different meanings in England, including evasive or deceitful flattery. The earliest known use of the term face flannel was in the 1890s, but for any 80s kid, even in America, you have heard it before, and in proper British fashion. You just may not have realized it then. Think back to the lyrics of the 1981 hit Tempted by Squeeze. I bought a toothbrush, some toothpaste, a flannel for my face, pajamas, a hairbrush, new shoes, and a case. Now, good thing I watched Stella Street, or I might have thought he was buying a plaid lumberjack shirt to pull over his head. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Do you remember at the start of the episode, I said I was away, so I'm recording this bit before Bob had actually sent me that. So I haven't had a chance to listen to it before recording this bit. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it's good, because it's always good. So thanks for that, Bob. He'll be back again a bit later on. But now we're doing this. Okay, boys and girls, this joke comes from the Jingle Bell Jokes for Funny Kids book that one of my girls got for Christmas, and I can make no excuses for just how bad this joke is. I'm really not happy about doing this, but I'm doing it. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. What does Santa's mum put in his lunchbox? Ho, ho, homemade cookies. At least it's over now, and we can move on. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Boys and girls, this is the quiz. Let's get last week's scores out of the way. Jack Unverfirth scored 3. Well done, Jack. You're letting the name down. With 4 points was Mark Westcott. And to be honest, this was pretty much a generally low scoring week anyway. I only got 7. Do you remember? Yeah. Benji Pearson scored 5, as did Pamela Wooten. With 6 points, we have Martin Goodman, John Gomez, and Gerald Case Blanchard. With 7 points, equaling me, we have Frank Talley, Adam Parker from the Merry Britsmas podcast, and Mickey Mike Westville from the Advent Calendar House podcast. You see that? There's 3, including me, that's 3 Christmas podcast hosts. We all scored 7. And the funny thing is, I don't know about Adam, but Mike Westville got the same 3 wrong that I got wrong. And with 11 points, apparently, is Timothy R. Dumont. He's given himself an extra point because it's Christmas in July. That's not how it works, Timothy. And to be honest, I don't even believe he scored 10. But that's what he said, and I'm not going to argue with him, because I can't be bothered. Thanks, everyone, for sending in your scores, though. I always like it. Only 11 people this week, and it was a lot more last week, so I've got a feeling people are a bit ashamed of their scores and decided to keep it to themselves. So well done, the people that didn't score much, for being loud and proud and saying, yes, I did crap in the quiz, but I am here. Well done. Right, now it's this week's quiz, and I'll tell you, kids, I didn't do well this week either. Here we go. Question number one. In Love Actually, what does the song Love Is All Around become? That's an easy one for you, isn't it? Get you started with an easy one, because the next one I didn't have much luck with. Question number two. What traditionally is placed in the window on Christmas Eve in Ireland? Any ideas? It was only back in November that I spoke to Jeannie Mulligan. Do you remember? And we talked about Christmas in Ireland. Well, she didn't tell me what she put in her blooming window, did she? Yeah. I'll be interested to see if she gets this, actually. She hasn't emailed for a while, I think because her score was so bad every time. She stopped emailing. Anyway, question number three. What was gifted to the USA from France in 1886? Now, I didn't know this was gifted. I guessed it right, but I didn't know it was a Christmas gift. I hope it was a Christmas gift. Otherwise, that question should not be in this quiz. Next one. In which New York store did Mariah Carey and Justin Bieber film their video for All I Want for Christmas Is You? Do you remember that? When she re-recorded it with Justin Bieber. What was that? That was some cash grab, wasn't it? I think I remember hearing it a couple of times and seeing the video maybe once or maybe not. But I remember it coming out and I'm thinking, it's pointless. Because next year, that will be forgotten about and we'll still be listening to the original version. And I was right. Next one up. In what year was the first official Christmas card sent in England? You know what? I got this one right as well. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you when, because that's not how quizzes work. I will later when I give you the answers. But I can't now. Next one. On what date is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception? Now, I'll tell you something. This is near Christmas, but the Immaculate Conception was not when Jesus was conceived. It was apparently when Mary was conceived. Yeah, look it up. Look it up, because a lot of people think that's what it was, but it's not. Trust me on that. Google it. Okay, next one. What is bakala? It's a Christmas dish served in Croatia. But what is it? Okay, next one. On what day is Christmas celebrated in Egypt? And, oh, we're up to number 9 now. By what name is the song Adeste Fidelis better known? Adeste Fidelis. I hope I said that right. I'm not going to spell it. Just assume that I'm saying it right. Fidelis. And the last one. Who delivers presents to children in Italy on the night of the 5th of January? Now, here's the thing, kids. I've talked about that in a previous episode. So if you get it wrong, shame on you. Shame on you and your house. Okay. Are you ready for your answers, kids? Question number one. In Love Actually, what does the song Love Is All Around become? Well, we all know it becomes Christmas Is All Around. Yeah, Christmas is all around. Question number two. What traditionally is placed in the window on Christmas Eve in Ireland? Do you know what? I didn't have any ideas. I thought it was a stocking. Well, of course it wasn't a blooming stocking. It was a candle. And it's like, oh yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. So, Jeannie, if you're listening to this, she's probably not. She's probably got better things to do. But if you are listening, Jeannie, please email me and tell me if you put a candle in the window. And if so, why didn't you tell me back in November last year so I could have got that question correct? Huh? 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 Next one. What was gifted to the USA from France in 1886? It was a pair of socks. Yeah. Nice. So everyone, do you know what? When you're a kid, socks, worst gift. I've probably talked about this before. When you're a kid, socks are the worst present you could ever get. Or underpants. It's like, generally, when I was a kid, clothes. I just didn't even want clothes. I wanted toys. Now I'm a grown man. Give me a decent pair of socks. I'm happy with that. Decent socks, though. Next one. In which New York store did Mariah Carey and Justin Bieber film their video for All I Want for Christmas Is You? Well, I guessed Macy's. And you know what, boys and girls? I guessed correct. Hooray for me! Next question. In what year was the first official Christmas card sent in England? Well, the reason I know this is because it was the same year that A Christmas Carol was published. Can you believe that? That's a bit of a coincidence, kids. That's when Christmas really got going. It was 1843. Hope you got that. Next one. On what date is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception? Again, it is not the conception of Jesus. It was the conception of Mary. And that is the 8th of December. And I didn't know that. I think I said the 6th of January or something. I didn't know what I was thinking. Next one. What is bakala? It's a type of Christmas dish served in Croatia. Well, I thought it was some sort of pastry or cake. And it wasn't. It was actually salted cod. So imagine that. If you'd ordered that for Christmas. Oh, yeah. Let's have some nice bakala for our dessert on Christmas Day. And they bring it out. It's salted cod. What was I thinking? Oh, no. Why didn't I learn to speak Croatian? Oh, Christmas is ruined. Next one. On what day is Christmas celebrated in Egypt? Well, I said the 6th of January, and the answer is the 7th of January. Yeah, if in doubt, I'll always go for the 6th of January. And both times in this quiz, I've been wrong. Next one, or number 9. Right, by what name is the song Adeste Fidelis better known? Do you know what I actually got this? And I'll tell you why I got it. It's because I know that Fido means faithful. Because I always wanted to call a dog Fido. I've never had a pet dog. If I did, I was going to call it Fido. Anyway, I knew that meant faithful. Fido meant faithful. And I thought, Fidelis sounds a bit like faithful. O come all ye faithful. And you know what? I was correct that time, kids. I was correct. And the final question. Who delivers presents to children in Italy on the night of the 5th of January? Well, it is Befana. And she's the Christmas witch. Yeah, so if you want to check out that episode, I don't know which one it was, so just go and listen to all of them from episode 1 again, and sooner or later you'll come to it. Yeah. I scored 6, boys and girls. Yeah, that's not my best score. Not my best score at all. But that is my score. Let me know how you guys got on. You know the deal? Email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. All you do is put the number of your score in the subject line, and that's it. Press send. Next thing you know, I've got the email, and you'll hear your name in the next episode. But right now, boys and girls, we're doing this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Old Montreal and Quebec City, Canada? With their old world roots and quaint storybook appeal, yeah, I can't help but enjoy the festive atmosphere under the twinkling lights of these iconic cities. Their charming architecture creates a merry ambiance as it feels like you are walking into a life-size Christmas village with shimmering vistas, cobblestone streets, and stone buildings. You can't help but find real comfort and joy here throughout the year. Plus, both places are home to some of North America's most beautiful churches, including the Notre Dame Basilica in Montreal, where Celine Dion was married. The Basilica is known for its intricate stained glass windows, ornate interior, and towering spires. You must also visit Noël Eternel in Old Montreal, a store which has been specializing in Christmas decorations and merchandise year-round for more than 28 years. It features artisanal and handmade decorations from around the world. And on a busy day, this store may welcome up to 2,000 customers. Or, if you're in Quebec City, be sure to explore La Boutique de Noël. This holiday haven offers a remarkable array of ornaments, including those crafted by the renowned White Sisters. It creates a magical atmosphere, and this store definitely lives up to its slogan, "For the Wonders of the Eyes." And it gained international fame in 2017 when it was featured on the Korean TV show Goblin, the Lonely and Great God. If you know of another urban getaway with strong holiday vibes, you illuminate it for Jack, he'll light it up for me, and we'll tell you where to find Christmas throughout the year.
Again, there's nothing I can say about that because I received that audio clip after I'd recorded this audio clip that I'm doing now. But I can say this, thanks so much for that, Bob. You're a superstar. Don't forget, boys and girls, to listen to Bob's podcast, Festive Foreign Film Fans. It's easy to find and it's a great podcast. Check it out. Now we're doing this. So one of the questions in last episode's quiz inspired my US correspondent to send me this. So wrap your ears around my buddy, Scott Newman. Here it comes.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott, the self-appointed US correspondent to the Total Christmas Podcast. Jack says I've been slacking off in my responsibilities lately, so I wanted to write in about a trivia question that Jack asked on his last episode. Let's play it.
Question number whatever. What is usually the last day to open on an advent calendar? Well, it's 24, isn't it? But I swear, when I was a kid, I swear it used to go up to 25. I don't know what age I was when I was like, hang on a minute, this has only got 24 doors on it.
I found this question really interesting because the answer is not as universal as you might think. A couple years ago on my Christmas morning podcast, my co-host and I each received an advent calendar from a listener to open up on each of our daily episodes. When it came time to open them, I started with day number 25 and Bran started with day number 1. And we didn't know who was right, so we left it up to the listeners. Well, I got a slew of emails from irate people dragging me like I had stolen from the church collection plate. But I also received emails from listeners who said I was right for starting with 25. So I wanted to research the problem, and here's what I found online. An advent calendar traditionally has 24 days, counting up from December 1st to December 24th, the day before Christmas. While some calendars may include 25 days, the most common and traditional setup is 24. In this style of calendar, the day number also matches the door number, so if it's December 10th, for example, you should be on door number 10. Many modern advent calendars are designed to count down to Christmas Day, with the highest number representing the number of days remaining until December 25th. Growing up, this is the kind of advent calendar I had, though our tradition was a little weird because we opened door number 1 on Christmas Day. But by all accounts, that should mean that there's still one day left until Christmas, and there isn't. But I've never seen an advent calendar with a zeroth day on it. So the answer to whether advent calendars should count up or count down is, it depends if it's a traditional or a modern calendar. Traditional calendars count up and also match the day of the month number. Modern calendars often count down, indicating the number of days until Christmas. Now, as to whether they have 24 or 25 doors, it seems that 24 is the most traditional count, and this could be because advent calendars originated in Germany, where the main day of celebration is Christmas Eve, not Christmas Day. What kind of advent calendar do you use? Email Jack and maybe he'll tally them into a list, but more likely he'll just ignore your email like he does all of mine. Jack, this should fulfill my obligation as the official self-appointed U.S. correspondent, so I'm going back to hibernating until November 1st. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, do you know what? I really enjoyed that. Do you know why I enjoyed it? Yeah, because I had a beer while I was listening. Thanks so much for sending that through, Scott. I did really enjoy that. Do you know what? It reminded me, because I've always opened them the correct way, like a normal person. I opened door number one first. It reminded me of when it was the millennium and a lot of the advent calendars came out, and after you'd reached Christmas Eve, they had another 7 days to take you to New Year's Eve. Do you remember that? That was a thing. And I have since then seen a couple of calendars with the extra countdown bit to New Year's Eve, but nah. New Year's Eve's naff, boys and girls. If it wasn't, this would be called the Total New Year's Eve podcast. But it's not. It's the Total Christmas podcast. And I'll tell you something else you might not know. My birthday is on New Year's Eve, and it's still naff. So there you go. Now, while we're on the subject of advent calendars, I thought I'd revisit a segment that I did a few episodes ago where I looked at Guinness World Records about Christmas. Well, I've got 3 Guinness World Records about advent calendars. And we're going to do the same as we did last time, kids. I'm going to tell you what the category of the record is, and you've got to guess what they've scored, or what the... Oh, you know what's going on. Okay, so the first one is the largest advent calendar, and this one was from December 2007, and it was built here in the UK at St Pancras Station in London to commemorate the station's refurbishment. So how tall and how wide do you think this advent calendar was? Are you thinking about it? You want to have a bit more time? It's in metres, but I can give you feet as well. I'll tell you this, it was wider than it was tall. In fact, it was over 3 times wider than it was tall. Okay, you ready? Here it comes. The height of the largest advent calendar of all time was 23 metres. Yeah, or 75 and a half foot. And the width was 71 metres. 71 metres! And that's just under 233 feet wide. So well done, the people in St Pancras Station. I wonder what the doors were like. I wonder if the doors were actually proper doors, like a wooden door. I don't know. 23 metres. Maybe they were. Although, for 71 metres wide, 24 doors and 71... I don't know. Anyway, the next one we've got is the most valuable advent calendar ever. And this record comes from November 2010... And the calendar was crafted by Octagon Blue GVC of Belgium, and it was made up of 24 glass tubes, each containing a small package of a diamond wrapped in silver. And the glass tubes each featured an angel. The calendar itself, in total, contained 124 diamonds. So, the price is in euros, but you can guess it in euros, pounds or dollars, because I've got all 3 for you. Are you ready? The price of that calendar, back then, this is 15 years ago, was 2.5 million euros, or 2.1 million pounds, or 3.3 million US dollars. There you go. Did you guess that? No? Nah, of course you didn't. You're stabbing in the dark. Did you get close, though? Okay, now the final one. I like this one. This is my favourite one. This is a good one. This one is the fastest time to eat all the chocolates from an advent calendar. And it was achieved by Kevin Strahl, also known as LA Beast, from the USA. And it was done at the Guinness World Records offices in New York on the 4th of December 2017. So about 8 years ago. And it was attempted as part of a Facebook Live broadcast at the Guinness World Record office. So, how quickly do you reckon he ate those chocolates? Now, I'm guessing he had to open the doors and get them out. I'm wondering if maybe he just ripped the whole thing apart. I don't know. But because if the chocolates were just lined up there, they'd just already taken them out of the wrappers. That's cheating, surely, isn't it? Anyway, have a guess how long it took him. Have a think. 24 chocolates. So I'm guessing that's 24 doors to open. Are you ready? You got it in your head? How long you reckon? His exact time was 1 minute 27.84 seconds. That's pretty quick. Yeah. Well done, Kevin Strahl, the LA Beast. Yeah, and those were the only 3 records they had about advent calendars in there, which I was surprised about. I thought there might be a few more, but there we go. That was something, wasn't it? Now, boys and girls, we're doing this. Boys and girls, I'm going to recommend a show now that I don't even know if you can get outside of the UK, but I've been watching it and it's really nice. It's a show called Gone Fishing with Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse. Now, here's the deal. Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer are both very famous comedians here in the UK. You might recognise Paul Whitehouse. He's been in a few films, I think. Tell you what, though, he's going to be in the new series of Harry Potter when it comes out. I think he's playing Filch, is it? The guy, the janitor or whatever he is. Anyway, back about 7 or 8 years ago, Bob Mortimer had a heart attack or some sort of heart thing. And he had to have an operation on his heart. And it was something that Paul Whitehouse had also gone through. Now, after he'd had his operation, Bob Mortimer, he became a bit of a recluse for a short time. So Paul Whitehouse sort of went around and said, come on, mate, let's get you out of the house, let's go fishing. Now, Paul Whitehouse is a really good angler. Bob Mortimer had barely done it before in his life. But they had so much fun that they made a TV show of it. And it's just them fishing. But if you're not interested in fishing, which I'm not, it's still interesting because it's just them chatting about their lives, about their health, and they're comedians, so it's generally very funny. And they've had about 7 or 8 series of it, so we're talking 6 episodes per series. There's about 40 odd episodes out there to watch, and me and the wife have been watching one an evening the last few weeks, and we really like it. It's just a nice, pleasant show to watch, and also you get to see the British countryside, and a lot of it's a bit arty, where it's done in slow motion as well, which is a bit poncy, but anyway, it's a nice show. If you want to check it out, it's called Gone Fishing with Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it is because they've done 3 Christmas episodes, or at least 3 that we've watched so far. And I can tell you something, kids. They didn't film them at Christmas. They certainly didn't, because I know what the trees look like at Christmas in the UK. And they don't look like the trees. In one of them, at best, it was late September. At worst, it was possibly August. They're there chatting about Christmas, and then they go and have a meal in a pub, and they're talking about, like, you know, what a great Christmas dinner it is. And I'm thinking, what? No! You're just lying to me. You're lying to me. You're lying to my face. It really bothers me, as you can tell. And what's weird, though, is they go into these pubs, because a lot of it is they go into country pubs and that, wherever they're fishing, and they stay in interesting places when they're fishing. And they go into this country pub, and it's all decorated. It's got a Christmas tree. And I'm thinking, where did they get that at that time of year? It looks like a real tree, and it's covered in decorations. The pub has had to decorate the whole blooming pub just for a scene that lasts about 4 or 5 minutes in their show. Now, this is another bit I wanted to talk about in one of the Christmas episodes. Now, the song Driving Home for Christmas, I know it's not popular all around the world, massively popular in the UK. It's part of the theme tune to Merry Britsmas podcast with Adam Parker that I mentioned earlier in the show. Chris Rea was the singer of that song, and you might know him. He sung a lot of other songs. He sung Fool If You Think It's Over, 'Cause You Said Goodbye. But anyway, that's one of his biggest hits. He sung a lot of stuff. Anyway, we're watching this episode, and they've got like a special guest there, right? And they're chatting to this guest, and they start talking about Driving Home for Christmas. And the guy says something about when he wrote it, and I'm like, that's not Chris Rea. That's not Chris Rea. Well, I'll tell you what, boys and girls, it was Chris Rea, but I didn't recognise him. Back in 2016, he suffered a stroke, and it really affected his mobility. And when I saw him, like I said, I didn't even recognise him. I was really surprised at how he looked now. But he's still recording, apparently, and he seemed quite happy. So there's that. But yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. But anyway, if you want to check it out, that's this episode's recommendation, Gone Fishing. Check out their Christmas episodes that aren't filmed even remotely at Christmas. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I want to say a big thank you, of course, to Bob Baker and Scott Newman for sending in their segments. If you want to get in touch, well, you've got to get in touch. We've talked about this before, kids. You have to send me your quiz score. The email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. You can check out the website. That is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas. Oh, and in case you thought I'd forgotten, that question 3 in the quiz, yeah. In 1886, France didn't give the USA a pair of socks. Of course they didn't. They gave them the Statue of Liberty. And if you're looking for a loophole, the Statue of Liberty isn't wearing socks. Thank you.